John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I want to preach tonight there out of verse 3, where it says, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and preach on this subject tonight. He knows my name. He knows my name. Tonight we have two basic characters in the text that I read to you. First of all, we have the shepherd. We have to realize who the shepherd is in this passage. Of course, Jesus, I believe, was talking about himself, because we know that David called him, the Lord is my shepherd. Peter called him the chief shepherd. And we do know the Bible tells us over and over again about Jesus Christ being a type of the shepherd. And I'm thankful tonight, just like David, that I can testify, the Lord is my shepherd. Not only do we see the shepherd, but we see the sheep. The sheep represent us, those that are born again believers. And I'm thankful that as a sheep, sheep in the Bible, sheep are really dumb animals. They need direction. They're defenseless. They really have no way to get around except by listening to the voice of the shepherd. And I'm thankful that the shepherd will satisfy, the shepherd will save the sheep, the shepherd will sanctify the sheep, and thank God the shepherd will stand by the sheep. I'm glad to know the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm thankful to be a part of his flock. And I know you probably feel the same way tonight. I'm thankful the Lord is my shepherd. Notice some things here by way of introduction before we get into the heart of the sermon. Three things that John 10 tells us about this shepherd. First of all, he's a caring shepherd. A caring shepherd. Verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a great verse to us tonight, because that tells us that no man has the power concerning our salvation. The power of salvation belongs to the shepherd. And I'm thankful that when we are saved, he puts us in his hands. And I'm thankful to be in his hands tonight, aren't you? Whatever thing we go through in life, when we're saved, thank God we are in his hands. Now, this says no man can pluck us out of his hand. No man has the power. No devil has the power. No politician has the power. No power under heaven and earth can tear us away from the hand of God. The only one that can is if we just slip and walk out of it ourselves. But I'm thankful tonight, as long as we stay in his big hand, the shepherd will care for us. The shepherd will be with us. And I'm thankful tonight, no man can change that in my life. I have that assurance tonight that I'm in his hands as long as I stay in his hands. Amen. He's a caring shepherd, but he's also a certified shepherd. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The certification comes with those two words, I am. He certified it when he said, I am. In fact, there was six other times besides this that he said, I am. He said, I am the bread. I am the water. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the door. And he certified it when he said these words, I am. Because you remember, Jesus even said himself, before Abraham was, I am. All the way back in the Old Testament, out of the burning bush, when he said, who do I say sin? Me, Lord, Moses said. And God said, you tell him, I am that I am hath sent me. You say, why is that so important? Because the words I am simply mean, I am what I am, I was what I was, and I will be what I will be. That means he was in the past there to help us. He's right here now helping us. And thank God, in the future, the shepherd will be there. Because he's a certified shepherd. Hallelujah. God certified him. You say, how did God certify him? Oh, it happened when he was out there in the Jordan River and John baptized him when he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he dropped him into that Jordan River. And when he came up out of the water, his father looked down and certified him when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's a gentle shepherd. And he's a glorious shepherd. He certified his shepherdship, so to speak, because in the Old Testament the sheep died for the shepherd, but thank God when Jesus came, the shepherd died for the sheep. I'm thankful he was certified himself when he died on the cross of Calvary, and the shepherd died for the sheep. Hallelujah. John knew that he was certified because in John 1, he called him the sin taker. In John 2, he called him the winemaker. In John 3, he was the love giver. In John 4, he was the thirst quencher. In John 5, he was a soul satisfier. In John 6, he was a wave walker. In John 7, he was a doctrine teacher. In John 8, he was a life changer. In John 9, he was an eye opener. In John 10, he was a sheep keeper. In John 11, he was a dead raiser. In John 12, he was a light shiner. In John 13, he was a foot washer. In John 14, he's a mansion builder. In John 15, he's a branch purger. In John 16, he's a spirit sender. In John 19, he's a prayer. In John 18, he's a cup drinker. In John 19, he's a cross bearer. In John 20, he's a grave robber. And in John 21, he's a table spreader. John knew exactly who he was, and he certified it when he said, I am the good shepherd. I'm preaching a lot better than you're shouting right now. Amen. He's a caring shepherd. He's a certified shepherd. But our text tells us he was a calling shepherd. He says, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Calvin Race told you this many times. I've never seen it happen before. I know he's seen it in person. But there's a reason why he mentioned this, because still yet to this day, all the sheep, they would, a lot of them graze together. Different flocks would graze together. And so certain times of day, they would have to separate the sheep. And the only way to do that is the shepherd would have to call his sheep. And Calvin Ray's seen this. I know my mom and dad have seen this before. But the shepherd would give some kind of call, whatever it would be. But the sheep knew what it was. And it'd be amazing to see all of them hundreds of sheep together. But in a matter of seconds, they would separate and go to their shepherd. Why? Because the sheep know the shepherd's voice. How precious it is to know that in this God-forsaken world, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, in the midst of all the turmoil and tragedy, if we just listen real close, we can hear the voice of the shepherd. He knoweth his sheep, and the sheep know his voice. Let's look at three different people in the Bible where he called them by name. I know there could be a lot I could go here, but I just want to deal with three tonight. First of all, in Luke 19, he called the name of a greedy person. A greedy man, he called his name. Luke 19, the very familiar passage of Scripture. We've sang about it ever since he was a little kid. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today. We've sang that ever since we was little kids. But have you really dove into what they're saying? He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Of course, we know that he was short of stature. But there's more emphasis because Luke 19 says that he sought to see Jesus. Now, that tells me a couple things. First of all, it tells me that he probably heard about Jesus. Now, I don't know how he heard about him, but I can picture in my mind, because, you know, he was a tax collector. And everybody hates tax collectors. And I'm sure at this time he went door to door collecting money. Can you imagine him going door to door and one day going up to a door of a man that's real sick? And he said, I need my taxes. And he says, now, I'm sorry, Zacchaeus, I'm really sick and I've had to use all my money to pay the bills. And they say, I ain't got much longer to live, but if you come back next month, I may not be here, but there'll be money here to pay the taxes, but I can't pay them right now. Zacchaeus will say, okay, I'll get you next month. Then maybe he goes up to another door, knocks on the door, and there's a man that comes to the door and he's blind. And he says, Zacchaeus, he said, I can't pay you right now. I do my best to beg for money, and the people haven't been given this month very well. I can't pay my taxes. You're going to have to come back. I can see Zacchaeus going on down the road upset because he hadn't got his money. Knocking on one more door, and he walks up, and there's a man. His skin's all white and patchy. He says, what's wrong with you, sir? He said, I'm a leper. He said, I'm going to have to go to the leper colony. I don't got the money to pay my taxes. But if you come back, hopefully my family will have the money. And so I can see him going back the next month and knocking on the door of that first house. And he sees the man that was supposed to be dead. And he, looking at that man, said, hey, wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to be dead. He said, oh yeah, the doctor said there was no hope for me. But I heard about this man called Jesus. And he came by my way. And he touched me. And he healed me. Now here's your money. I'm still alive. I can work. Here's the money for my taxes. And so Zacchaeus, trying to figure out what was going on, goes to the next door, the blind man's house. And when he opens the door, there's a man looking at him. He says, Zac, I've been waiting on you. And he says, wait a minute, I thought you were blind. And he said, I was, but you don't understand. Jesus passed by my way and he touched my eyes. And now I can see again. I can work. I can hold down a job. Here's the money to pay my taxes. And then he goes to the next house of the man that was lepers. And he knocks on the door, and there's the man coming. His skin is clean. He looks beautiful. He just knows that something's happened to him. And he says, wait a minute, sir. I thought you were a leper. I thought you had leprosy. He said, oh yes, but me and my buddies ran into a guy called Jesus. And he said, go show yourself to the priest. And instantly I was healed of my leprosy. Now I can work and provide for my family. Here's the money to pay for taxes. And I'm sure Zacchaeus went down the road and he's saying, man, a guy that can raise the dead, a guy that can heal blinded eyes, a guy that can heal leprosy. I gotta hear, I gotta see about this man called Jesus. And when he heard he was coming by his way, he said, I may be short, but I know where there's a tree. And so thank God, in order to see Jesus, he went to a tree. Aren't you thankful that in order to see Jesus through spiritual eyes, we still got to go to a tree? And he climbed up the sycamore tree because he wanted to see the Lord. Hallelujah. A tree is a good place to meet the Lord. You remember when God treated you with his Holy Spirit? Had you running away scared? Had you climbed up in the tree and you thought no one could get to you, but thank God Jesus knew where you were. I'm not sure about that country there where Zacchaeus was at, but I'm sure there were other trees around. But Jesus knew exactly the tree that Zacchaeus was in. And he didn't look up in that tree and said, he didn't say, is anybody up there? Hey, you, sir, come on down. No, what'd he do? He called him by name. And said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. It's time for me to go to your house. And he changed his life. You say, Brian, how do you know he changed his life? Well, he went back and repaid fourfold all that he had wronged. That's how you know when someone's got the goods. Because that's, forgiveness is more than just saying, I'm sorry. But forgiveness and real repentance is going back and making your wrongs right. And he did exactly that. That's how you know when he got the goods, because he made his wrongs right. Adam hid behind a tree. Elijah sat under a tree. Zacchaeus climbed a tree. Jesus died on a tree. And thank God one day we'll sit by the tree of life as a tree planted by the rivers of living water. I'm thankful tonight we can still find Jesus if we go to a tree. He called a man's name that was greedy. Secondly, in John 20, he called a name in a garden. Jesus had been to the cross now, had been buried for 3 days. We all know the speculation and we all know what happened. Mark chapter 16 says, when they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun, they found the angels there. Jesus wasn't there, of course, just like he said. But then in John chapter 20, a woman that had been touched by God, a woman whose life was changed by Jesus, named Mary Magdalene, came looking for his body. And she made this statement, and I'll never forget what Dr. Giler had told us one time. We were sitting there eating with him one time, and he said, have you ever thought about Mary? And Mary made this statement. She said, tell me where they've laid him, and I'll go get him. I'll go get him myself. You got to picture Jesus' body now. He'd been wrapped in linen. He'd been anointed with at least 100 pounds of spikenard. And she was willing to go and get him and carry him away. And Dr. Godler said these words. He said, "You know what? Love never asks how heavy the load. Love was willing to carry the load." And so there she was in the garden alone, burdened down because she felt like they stole her Savior. She saw a man, thought it was the gardener, telling him all these questions, wondering where he was at. Then all of a sudden, he said one word, "Mary." Mary. Called her by name. And when he called her by name, she knew it was the Lord. She fell at his feet, worshiped him. But you know what? Once she heard her name from the Lord, she went and proclaimed his name. That's how you know when someone's got it. That's how you know when someone's been touched by God. When someone's name's been called by Jesus. They're not afraid to go and tell other people about Jesus. She went and told those that were hiding away. She says, "Hey Peter, hey James, hey John, he's alive! He just called me by name!" You say, how do you know when Jesus calls you by name? Well, I tell you, I've been in some big crowds of people before. But when I was growing up, it was pretty often actually that my dad and mom loved Walt Disney World. They love it. My dad, after he retires, he told my daughter Abby, he said, "Abby, when I retire, I want to go to Disney World and I want to work at Disney World." He loves it. So we used to go to Disney World all the time. And when we'd be in these big crowds of people in the hot summer days, and there was hundreds of dads going, "Son, son, son." But when my dad called my name, I knew it was him. Because I knew my dad's voice. There could have been hundreds of dads going, "Brian, Brian, Brian." But I wouldn't have turned around because it wasn't my daddy. But when my daddy called me, I knew it was him. And I ran to where he was at. Boy, in the darkness of my backslidden condition in high school years, I'm thankful that in a pew about halfway back at Beach Fort Church, Jesus said, "Brian, Brian, I still want you. I still can use you." Don't you remember when Jesus called you by name? And it may be dark. It may be stormy. You may be depressed. You may think the Lord is nowhere to be found. But you know what he can do? Donnie Jason. Jamie Baconaster. Marsha Fields. Rusty Thurman. Whew. And when you hear him speak your name, it seems like it doesn't matter what you're going through, does it? Whew. There's peace. Peace. Finally, in John 11, he spoke the name of a man in a grave. One thing that Lazarus had going for him was that Jesus was his best friend. It's always good to have Jesus as your best friend. He's there to help you. And we'll learn some things about this. I won't tell you much longer, but we'll learn some things about this, and we've even seen it this week already. Some things about death. Death is ugly. Death is universal. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what age. It don't matter what your physical condition. Death will come knocking for you. Death will call for you. Whether it be at your house, playing games with your kids, your husband's a doctor, it don't matter. It don't matter. Death can come calling. Death is universal. Death is unexpected. How many times has our pastor been up here in that pulpit down there and up here, made this statement, "Most people die with their shoes on"? That means most people die unexpectedly. Almost 6,000 people die every hour. In this next hour, I wonder if you may get a phone call of one of your family members. How many times have you said, this was so unexpected? Death for this family was ugly. It came to a young man, Lazarus. And it doesn't matter that he was Jesus' best friend. It still came to him. It was unexpected. So he was laying in the grave for 4 days. But aren't you glad that even death can't stop Jesus when he mentions your name? And we all know, we've heard Jack Lasseter, we've heard other preachers get up here and say, there's a reason why he didn't say, come forth. Because everyone that was dead would have got up out of the grave. But that's why he called him by name. He was specific and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that he immediately was at the door of the tomb. How did he get from a position of being wrapped in grave clothes? We know he was wrapped because he said, loose him and let him go free. We know he was wrapped. We know he was anointed. It'd been 4 days now. How in the world did he, was he able to get up and be at the entrance of the tomb? I'll tell you why. It was because Jesus spoke his name. And it was the power of the voice of the shepherd that brought him out of that state and made him alive. Loose him and let him go. And death cannot keep you from coming to God if Jesus wants you there. If Jesus wants you alive, he can speak your name and you can be raised from a life of sin. No matter how far in sin you may be, if you think death is close to you, if you think you're dead spiritually and there's no way you can be alive, one touch and one mention of your name from the Savior, thank God he will raise you up and resurrect you and save you from a life of sin. We've seen it here this week on Monday, I believe on Sunday actually, on Sunday afternoon, Calvin Ray sent through the prayer chain call. He said, remember Billy Barnett in your prayers. He is near death. We need to pray for any of those that are close. If you can go and speak to him and try to wake him up, try to rouse him up so the family can know that he's saved, would you do it? And so Calvin Ray had already been there and tried to talk to him. And if anybody knows Calvin Ray, his voice, doesn't have a quiet voice, but I'm sure he spoke to Billy. I'm sure he raised his voice a little bit to try to get Billy to wake up. And when I went in a short time after, I said, Billy, Billy! And he kind of went like that and kind of opened his eyes a little bit, but went right back to sleep. I said, Billy, come on, we want to talk to you. We want to lead you to Jesus. And I shook him a little bit, but he didn't wake up. But then Jamie Baconhaster, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, went in shortly after that and began to pray in the name of Jesus. And she said, Lord, you're going to have to wake him up so I can lead him to the Lord. And so you say, Brian, well, what made the difference? I'll tell you what made the difference. It wasn't necessarily Jamie's voice that woke Billy up. But it was the voice of the Holy Spirit in Hospice Room 5 at SOMC Hospice. Because not only was Jamie saying, Billy, 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 but Jesus was behind her saying, Billy, wake up! Here's your chance! And I'm telling you what, I'm sure his feet, the flames of hell, were reaching the bottom of his feet. But thank God the voice of the Lord brought him back from that state. And he was able to give his heart to God. Now on Saturday, Calvin Ray can stand up in front of the family and say it was the voice of God that brought him back from death and has now given him reservation into heaven. And should the Lord tear me, and should they lay me in the grave, all it's going to take is his voice. You say, Brian, is he going to call your name? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he will. Because the Bible says that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout. It says with a shout. It didn't say exactly what he was going to say. But I can just imagine if I'm in the grave, Roger Davis, he'll say, Brian Mayer, come on up here. Come up hither. Come up with me. And for all those that are dead in Christ, thank God he'll call them by name. And the grave can't hold him. Death can't hold him. Death may keep him for a little bit, but death can't have him because the voice of the shepherd will raise them. And thank God we'll
and ever.
I'm glad he knows my name.